Let's jump right in. Paul Gazelka has joined this show a number of times over the years. He's the former majority leader of the state Senate here in Minnesota. And Paul Gazelka, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. A great day to chat with Mr. Gazelka because we have a vice presidential debate tonight. A reminder, that debate will be heard right here on WCCO Radio. Once it is done, along with Adam Carter, I will join in, and we'll join in. And we'll give you about 60 minutes, your opportunity to react to Governor Walz and to Senator J.D. Vance. And Paul Gazelka knows Tim Walz well. Obviously, they did not see eye to eye on most issues. And adding to it, about 5-6 weeks ago, Paul wrote a book, Behind the Veil, A Stand Against Governor Tim Walz. And that book is available to you. Again, the book by Paul Gazelka, Behind the Veil, A Stand Against Governor Tim Walz. Paul, always a pleasure. I want to take you through a number of issues here on the approach between Vance and Walz. Vance, and not all interviews have went well, I'll be clear on that, including the childless cat lady talk and the nonsense about the Haitians eating dogs and cats. But to his credit, J.D. Vance has appeared on a number of shows. The Sunday shows, he makes himself very available. He takes interviews, requests. When he's on the road, I think it's a little odd sometimes when he's taking questions with his supporters behind him. Whereas Governor Walz, there was the one combined Harris-Walz interview with Dana Bass. Then there was one recently where he was interviewing somebody who's a dog lover about he and Scout. But very, very limited. How do you think that might affect the two participants in tonight's debate?
Well, I think it gives Vance a leg up because he's getting used to getting all of those tough questions. I mean, you ask tough questions all the time. But I it's going to be interesting because Walz is definitely more emotional. Vance is more rational. I would say both of them have put their foot in their mouth. On Vance's case, he's relatively new into the political realm, and you learn as you go. I mean, I got a lot stronger after a number of years in it. So it's going to be really, really interesting. And I tell people, hey, buy my book, and you can fact check Tim Walz because I literally went from the time he became governor all the way to the end and kept all the text strings and just kind of went back and documented everything. And, he didn't do everything bad in my mind. We did a few things in the beginning where we worked together. It was just after that he kind of emergency powers, the riots and beyond that I was confronted.
Okay. If you could point out the one area where you felt like Governor Walz either did not live up to his responsibility as governor, or you think his decision was most wrong for Minnesota, what would you lay out?
It was definitely his response to the riots. I mean, we went back and forth on COVID, and that was a crazy pandemic. And I can point to many areas now that I look back, and my advice was correct. But the riots after the tragic death of George Floyd, he died on a Monday. The riots started Tuesday. The mayor asked for help on Wednesday. The governor froze. Thursday, the third precinct burned down. He still didn't move. Friday, Wells Fargo burned down 1,500 buildings. I'm texting. I'm pressuring him. I call the White House. And then finally, Saturday, he acts. But it was too late. And then he blamed the mayor, and the mayor showed proof that he asked him, and then he called the guard, the 19-year-old cooks, and it was just terrible leadership in probably one of the worst times in Minnesota ever.
For the person who's listening right now, and not just the Democrat, but the independent person says, you know what, Paul Gazelka is a loyal Republican, so he's going to say whatever you would expect most Republicans to say at this point, what would you say to that person who's the undecided and is looking to hear this, but feels like, well, I know where all the Democrats stand, and I know where all the Republicans stand, and this is just another Republican offering up what is a close firsthand account?
Well, first of all, I have of many people that I have built friendships with on the Democrat side, Governor Dayton still calls me up. I worked with Speaker Hortman to get budgets done, always respectful. And I was always respectful to Governor Walz. So that's kind of how I governed. I feel like you should treat people the way you want to be treated. And so when I'm critical, I think I come from a place that's objective. Yes, I'm a Republican, and yes, I don't think he should be the leader because I don't think he handles the crisis well. And I mean, right now we've got Iran blasting Israel, and it was bad decisions by Biden and Harris giving them $6 billion. I just don't think the combination of Walz and Harris is good in a crisis, and that's why I'm so direct. And one more thing, too.
Sure.
I wrote the manuscript January to June. I was just writing about all of my time in politics and how to make government work in Minnesota. And then he announces that he's VP, and I thought, I got to rush this and get it out because, I just felt it was important to read it, people to read it.
And if you're going to make some money, which is the point of writing a book, why not take advantage when the news is hot? I can't blame you. I'm sure many people would have done the exact same thing. Now, about the governor and debating, I am expecting Vance to be pretty darn aggressive on George Floyd, on COVID policies. Does he want to get personal on the clarification of IUI versus IVF? Maybe he will. I expect him to bring up, considering Vance's military service, Governor Walz and some of the controversy that some people offered up, was the governor telling the truth? What is your sense how you believe Governor Walz will react if some, if not all of that takes place, and how forceful do you expect Governor Walz to be in response?
I think they're both going to be forceful, and I think if it strikes a nerve in Walz, he will get angry or at least very upset. I mean, if you challenge his integrity or challenge his decision making, sometimes he does get very upset. But I think it's going to be very different than the Trump versus Harris debates. I think both Walz and Vance, I think, are much better debaters. And so it's going to be, I'm actually really looking forward to it to see how they interact, because I've been behind the veil, as the book is called, with Walz, but I really have not met Vance. I just saw the movie before he was ever a senator, and briefly saw him in a restaurant in St. Cloud, but I can't say I know him like I know Walz.
Paul Gazelka, the Senate Majority, former Senate Majority Leader, is with us. His book, Behind the Veil, A Stand Against Governor Tim Walz. Good timing with the debate today. So let's talk about the Middle East. The Middle East seemingly is unsettled all throughout our lives, no matter when you're born or how long you live. And this is another dramatic, very significant day with Iran responding to Israel's force against Hezbollah and the success Israel's had against Hezbollah the last few weeks, including killing their top leader and a number of the leaders. Iran responds today firing 200 missiles, ballistic missiles, throughout Israel. Once again, the Iron Dome, fairly successful. The U.S. working in coordination with Israel. In fact, about an hour and a half before the missiles started, senior White House officials were telling media sources it was imminent. It was going to happen. So on foreign affairs, Donald Trump is such a wild card. You know, we don't know what Donald Trump is going to say. He doesn't believe much in NATO. Now, his comeback is going to be, look what happened when I was president the first time. The Middle East was more stable. It wasn't completely stable because it never is. And that Ukraine didn't happen. And he'll use that as a contrast against Harris and Walz. As someone who wants Trump and Vance to win, how valid of an argument do you think that is, again, with the undecided voters?
I actually think this is a huge issue that only became bigger today. If you look at, the border is protecting America. Our national policy is something I think suddenly got elevated. And then you have to compare. It's really mostly going to be Harris versus Trump, not the VP candidates. And I was at the Abraham Accords in January of 2020. And that was the first time in 25 years that there had been any signed peace agreement in Israel. And I was aware that Trump took $6 billion and froze it of Iranian assets, and Biden came back and gave it back to them, and that's where that money is being spent now. So I actually think this will be one of the top few issues for the undecided voter right now. And Trump, to me, is a lot like Reagan. That was the first president I voted for, and everybody thought he was going to start a world war, and he was a wild card. And in the end, he worked with Gorbachev, and they, you know, he told him to tear down the wall. And so that's kind of where I think Trump is. He is a wild card, and people, you know, definitely are concerned about him around the world. But he didn't have any wars when he was president, because I think people feared him.
On that part, I will accept the Reagan comparison. I think in a lot of other areas, I don't think they're close at all. There's clearly some different views on the $6 billion, how that money was frozen, where it actually went to. But again, on Trump, on the character part, okay, when he's calling Harris mentally disabled over the weekend, when he's calling for 1 hour of rough police work, which I think is insulting to the police, when he goes to Georgia, which is to his credit. By the way, the idea that Harris and Biden weren't involved is nonsense. They can't go as easy as a former president. It's even not easy for the former president to go. So I give him credit for going. But when he says that Kemp cannot get a hold of Biden, when Kemp has already said that he's talked to Biden and Biden has told him, reach out to me whenever you want. Doesn't that bother you about Trump?
That comparing both Reagan and Trump, I specifically went to national policy. Reagan was just more of a gentleman. I mean, he was forceful, but a gentleman. And that is my approach to government. And so, you know, that's a part of Trump that is never going to change. But it does turn some people off. And
does it turn you off? Does it bother you when mentally disabled and give the police an hour to do whatever they want and lying about, you know, what, you know, it's one thing. I get it. He can have his disagreements, but in a time of crisis, right, I feel like that's like Switzerland. Let's all be together, and to literally lie about Biden and Kemp not talking is sends a wrong message to citizens who believe in Trump when they should know that support is coming.
Yeah, I don't like name calling and slimy words about any other opponent, whether Trump does it. I mean, I don't know if hope is not a swear word, but when Walz told, you know, got caught saying that Trump was a bastard, that kind of stuff, I don't like. I think we are better than that as a country. And there is a lot more of it now than I can ever remember. I'm not going to be that guy. I treat people with respect. I like what Franklin Graham wrote to President Trump after the attempted assassination. You know, be more generous with your words. You don't have to swear all the time, you know, but that's where I'm at. And we talked about this before. He was not my first choice, but he is my choice now. And I'm, you know, and there are many people like Mike Pompeo or Bill Barr or others that, you know, we're strongly behind him, but that doesn't mean he's a perfect person. And, you know, I'm most concerned about our national defense and protecting our borders so we don't have just people coming in that we don't even know where they're from. And that, to me, is way more important than personality and whether you're nice or not. I prefer both, but sometimes you don't get that combination.
Yeah, I think for me it's a little more nice, but I understand what you're saying. Paul, always appreciate it. Again, the book from the former Senate Majority Leader, Behind the Veil, A Stand Against Governor Walz. Appreciate it, sir. We'll reach out again down the line.
Yeah, thanks. Just go to Amazon and type in Behind the Veil and you'll get to it. And I really appreciate your show, Chad. You got to tell me what the next great adventure is that I can watch on Facebook, whether it's Hawaii or wherever else you're going.
Somewhere soon, hopefully. So I'll let you know. Thank you, sir.
All right,
I appreciate
buddy. Take care.
Paul Gazelka. Tell me, you react to what Paul Gazelka had to say. And for you, a couple of things. What's the number one thing you're watching for the debate tonight, if you're watching it? And foreign affairs, now with this ratcheting up significantly. Although, you know, Iran's trying to find a way where they respond and not turn this into utter chaos. I don't know if they've struck that chord, but how important is foreign affairs for you? on deciding your vote. We're going to be quick next segment, so text right away now. 651-461-9226.